All right, let's get started, guys. I'm glad you guys are still talking. We got a lot to go over tonight, so that'd be very fun, very good. But first off, let's talk about what's coming up. Who knows what's coming up a week from today, or 2 weeks from today, or from tomorrow?
Now you're scared.
I don't either. That's why we need to plan something, because we have nothing yet for a youth group January event. So we need to get something going here. We only have exactly. We only have 2 weeks left. We haven't done anything. So what are we gonna do? Where's it gonna be?
Our house.
All right.
Cancel my flight.
So, well. Do we want to do next week, or do we want to do like 2 weeks from next?
Next week. Any week.
Whatever I'm trying to say. Any week works for you. So next week will work. Will next week be too early for some of you guys?
Like
next week, Friday. Oh, for you, it will be.
Yeah.
It's too early.
Oh. What about the week after that? Okay. Okay. So 2 weeks from tomorrow, or yeah, is that what you're saying? 2 weeks from tomorrow. What is that? What day is that? The 29th, 28th.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
February 5th.
Yeah.
Oh, really? No.
Next week is the last week of January.
And the 5th is when...
Oh, okay, maybe we just want to be able to do it in January. So if we did it February 5th, that work for you guys? Okay. So we're just, yeah. January was busy. We'll do that. Okay, so the Stevensons, you guys are hosting? Is that what I just heard?
Yeah. The night we talked about,
personally, is it one of them? I know we talked about several of them. He's like, he gave me like three. So that's something else we got to kind of figure out. And you know what? Maybe I'm doing too much too soon. If we want to kind of try to incorporate Snow Creek, maybe we can just do like a 2-for-1 on one night. So maybe we don't need to try to do like a movie night yet.
The 5th.
And what else was it? Just the 5th?
Yeah, I think so. Well, starting the 5th is when they could accept bigger groups. Like there were enough tickets open at that time.
Okay.
I can look right now.
February 5th. Okay, I'm just trying to think about my own schedule. I don't have Jenny in here because technically when I say I'm thinking about my schedule, she knows my schedule. I don't, so just kind of like refer to her always. Okay, how do you guys feel about that, going to Snow Creek instead of doing a Ethan, I saw a shake back there.
What would we do?
Like we did a few years ago.
I don't know. These Stevensons aren't liking this. Ethan was kind of going sideways. Lexi was kind of looking scared.
Snow Creek is just intense.
But I mean,
it's intense?
It's too big.
I know.
She's like, it's too much. Too much.
It's intense.
Did you go last time?
It's intense.
And it was so crazy.
That was so
hot.
Did you have like multiple pairs of clothes on?
Yes.
Layers?
Cold.
I guess I was just having so much fun. All right, come on.
I was still having fun.
Yeah, I thought the cheer, I thought the warmth of the season will warm you guys up. The happiness. Yeah, it's probably going to be like 70 degrees. So.
But it's not like January kind of winter time.
Oh my God. February 5th.
Whatever. It's
50
degrees today. I'm just saying.
It's pretty nice. All right, let's do this. So raise your hands if you're interested in going to Snow Creek. Raise your hands. Raise it high. Be proud about it. You don't have to. You know, don't. No peer pressure. If you really don't want to go, don't raise your hand. Okay, that's pretty much everybody then. This is what I'll do. All right, I'll look into that. I'll see what we can do, if we're going to do like a discount, or what we're going to do as far as like covering all that stuff like that. I'll figure out what we can offer you guys. We'll get back to you on that. What are you checking out?
All the tickets are bought for the month
for
of 5th? February.
See, I'm glad you're
no,
up
for the whole month.
Oh,
of
for the whole month of February. All right. Back to our original plan.
Else.
All right. So back to the original plan. So, Steven, what's up, Sierra?
We could rent out maybe like a gym or something if they're open to it.
Like an open gym?
Oh my gosh,
that's an
amazing idea.
Yeah, that sounds
amazing.
Look at that feedback.
I was getting
ready
for that.
I just looked like anything in nature.
Nothing in nature.
It voices like it'll be perfect. Alex, you just get to go in the dark
falls
at Zach's house.
Have you ever tried to open the door until 5 o'clock?
Yeah, it's like,
but they're renting like different stuff. If you rent it for softball, we're there until like 8:30. So it might be different on how you do it. But like, if we all just wanted to buy like tickets to an open gym, it might be different.
Cool.
They close, like,
okay.
True.
So
No, that's a very good point.
It just depends on what we want to do. Sorry to be a party pooper.
No, that's the stuff we need to know. You know?
Before we get our hopes up, you know what I mean? So, I mean, that's a good point. And like you said, it might be like open gym is still fine, but after that, only by appointment type of deal. So, I'll check into it. I'll see what's up.
Like a movie, maybe?
Yeah, you know what? Before all this stuff happened, I was actually planning on doing like a lock-in. I never brought the. I don't want to do a lock-in. I'm just saying that right now. But I was like planning on doing like you guys know like the Gate Center, like these gymnastics places. Like they'll rent out like the whole facility to you. Would you guys want to do that? Would you rather be like in a gym? It's like a gymnastics place, like extreme gymnastics or something.
We did one in like Nebraska, or like Columbia.
Yeah.
We did like a place up there, and it was really fun.
So would you guys be interested in something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll look into that. We'll try to make this happen February then. Maybe it might not be February 5th. I'm just going to talk to these guys and see what we can work out. So, yeah, we'll do that. Okay, cool. So, stay tuned. January is not going to happen. It'll be all right. We'll try to get through it. Something that is going to happen starting next week, though. So, this is new for all you guys. Before, when we started these Lifeline groups, I asked you guys, you know, just to try to gauge what the interest was as far as, you know, having like your own little youth group prayer group. It was like half and half. Nothing was strong. I didn't get like a strong direction from you guys. It's kind of like, you know, if we're supposed to say yes, this is a spiritual thing, of course we'll say yes type of deal. But it wasn't like, yeah, I've been dying and waiting for you to do this. So I didn't bring it up anymore. Anyway, I've been having some like adults kind of ask me if there can be something, you know, for the kids. And most of these adults actually aren't even in our church. They're like extra people on the Lifeline. We like see their kids walking through. A couple of them have teenagers and like, hey, you guys got anything happening for the youth group? This thing keeps happening, so I'm going to have something. So what's going to take place is every Tuesday at 8:00, I'm going to have a Zoom meeting. And if you're not busy, jump on there. It's just going to be me getting prayer requests from you guys hearing what's going on in each other's lives, and then us closing out like that. So no pressure to do like a devotion or anything like that. But the thing I'm excited about is, one, it helps these kids that are at, like, outside of our church that whose parents are, like, kind of tied in with us through the website and stuff like that, be able to kind of, like, see the youth that's here, hear what you guys are, you know, dealing with. They can relate to that. If it develops into something more, it will develop into something more. If it's just us getting prayer requests, I need that because I need to get back on that. I know at one time, a couple of years ago, it was embarrassing to even admit that, but I was, like, keeping up with you guys on like what you were wanting to pray for in life. It's been so long since I've done that. So this is a way for me to kind of get back into your world, have some more direct things to pray for you guys about, but also for you guys to hear what's happening in each other's lives and pray for each other. And I think it'll be good, man. We'll see how it goes and we'll develop it from there. So does anybody already have like something like discipleship on Tuesdays or something like that happening? Cool. So right now it sounds like it might work out. I'll send you guys like an invite through GroupMe or like it's probably the easiest way to do it. What's up?
We do like 8:30.
8:30? Yeah, we can do that.
Cause
yeah.
I work till like 8 or 9 most nights.
Oh, okay, absolutely, man. Yeah, for sure. Dang, girl. You too. You work till when? Or you use? You probably close, don't you?
Yeah, I usually work till like either 9:30 or 10.
Do you always work on Tuesdays?
No, I usually work like Mondays, Fridays, and Sundays.
You don't want to work.
Okay.
Okay. I don't even
want to work until 9.
That's all right. That's kind of like where it might be hit and miss for some people. What I want to do is just give like that every time, like just like that definite time so that people know like this is when it starts. When you're free, join in. If you're not, we'll just take what we got type of deal. So next Tuesday, be looking for that invite.
At 8:30.
Yeah, 8:30. Because you said you usually work till, who said that? Was that you? Yeah. You?
I mean, you can do 8. I'll be driving home, though. I'll just put it on.
Yeah, you can do that, too. Like, I'm not trying to, like, tell you to do something dangerous or anything. Like hey, I know Sean Sisson.
I got pulled over on Monday night, the first time ever.
Really?
Yeah, it was scary, but...
Was he just jealous of your ride?
Did you agree with it?
No, it
was...
speeding? Yeah.
Oh.
I guess.
She's got the plane. She's
in the office. Yeah, so I think I'll just do that. We'll just make it 8. And, just go from there. You know, if you can join in, man. I'll get you out there. Be good. I'll quiz you guys. All right. I think that's it as far as... Wait. Yeah. I think that's it as far as announcements. Okay. Cleaned up tonight. Very good, Jive. Very good job, guys. Cleaning up.
jumping in there. My bath has been a little bit organized, getting started. Sometimes it's like the second to last thing on my mind when I come in here, but we gotta be on top of that. You guys have done great jumping in there, making it happen. So yeah, do you guys want to divvy up now, like what we're gonna do when we break, so you know kind of what's going on? I think Sierra, you took care of the girls' restroom upstairs last Sunday, so. Unless there's like just a blowout up there, don't worry about the girls' restroom. Somebody go put eyes on it, make sure there's nothing leaking or nothing like that.
Oh my gosh.
But you know how it happens. People are people. They'll have people issues happen. So somebody run up, check on the girls' restroom if that's cool. I need you girls to break up. So let's have like maybe Kenzie, Macy. Well, my lord. Lexi, Mackenzie. You guys. Actually, we don't have that many girls. Wait, so what do we do on Thursdays? Do we do like lint rollers and stuff like that? Or
no.
Sundays? You guys did that on Sunday?
Yeah, us.
Okay.
We're
kind of
bomb at it too.
Okay, well, you guys go bomb the bathroom together.
Yeah.
My boys that were on the bathroom was like Caleb and Ethan.
Yeah.
So you guys want to do that? Josh and Jordan, you want to go upstairs? And then who's left? Colton, Jay, we'll jump on trash. You good? Spilker, what's up? You good? I know, man. It's like, this intimidating. Like, he's trying to say something, dude. Jeez. All right. So, everybody have something to do when we break?
No.
Mackenzie? Jump in something. I don't know. I mean, like, jump into the bathroom.
No chairs, no envelopes. None of that tonight, right?
So, I don't really know when they do that.
Envelopes tonight because we wipe all the hymnals on Sunday.
Okay.
So
what girls are in the bathroom? Selena, Mackenzie, and Sierra, and Amanda. All right, you guys jump on the envelopes and get those things going. Very good. And then the triumvirate will go to the bathroom and destroy that for us. Number three. That's what we call you guys. Oh my God, dude. Good job. Hey, let's sing. Let's get started so we can get to some questions. Sorry, Brad. I probably didn't mean to do that. Grab a hymnal. Hey, I saw these. Should we incorporate these into our song service today? These are tambourines.
Oh my gosh, tambourines.
It's not necessary.
My teacher's going to freak out if she doesn't pull out any kind of instrument. We keep it on as a wire.
Do you have your own? You're that kid?
It was from
a hymnal.
My chair never had one and I got tired of it, so I just bought one.
Are they on Amazon or something?
No, I just got it
from the bookstore. Wait,
they sell it?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I have one at home.
Oh. All right.
It would get stolen for sure.
Here we go. Mackenzie Kennicott, open us up with a word of prayer and then we'll get rolling here.
Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. Thank you for all of us being able to be here safely, Lord. And I pray that we just have a good night talking about whatever we're going to talk about, Lord, and just each of us get something from it. And I love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
377 or 8. 377 or 378. We'll see when we get there. Yeah. So two different...
I think we should sing Stand Up for Jesus.
Let's do the long one, man. Let's get more in. The more, the merrier. Here we go. Verse 1, 378. Here we go.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey.
Forth to the mighty conflict.
Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are many now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Turn over 381, here we go.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul.
Wow, you know, the thing that grows our relationship with the Lord, it's not how much we read our Bibles. It's not even how much we pray. It's not how much we give to other people. It's really not even how much sacrifice we do. The thing that grows our relationship with God is how much we trust in him. And what a call he makes to us. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You watch this. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. The kids just learned about the Brady and Brian. Jenny just taught them that little trust fall, the trust test thing where you like stand with your back to them and then you fall backwards. You know, and it's funny like watching them try to do that. And, you know, obviously they have to rely on us for almost everything in life right now. But even something like that, you know, these two youngins still were kind of questioning whether or not we would catch them when they fell back. But that's exactly how it is in life with us with God oftentimes. You know, if he's our Father, if he upholds us, if we're leaning on the everlasting arms, are we really leaning? Or are we just kind of touching his hand while we're using our own strength? You see what I'm saying? If we're leaning on God, that means we're putting all of our weight on him and trusting him to hold us up. That's what that last spot right there, as you yield him your body. So just some, you know, devotional things to think about as we're going through here. Verse number 2.
Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all must you lay.
Verse number 3.
Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid.
Is your all?
Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart
does the Lord control your heart and spirit?
You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul. And who can tell the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made. Of the fellowship sweet we will share at his feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Christ laid. Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul.
All right, 206. Haven't sung this one for a while. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. 206. Here we go.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? It's taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. Oh, the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches you and me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than a mighty rolling sea. It's higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. And broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. My chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches you and me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than a mighty rolling sea. It's higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace.
It's all-sufficient, amen.
And broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, and by its transforming power, making Him God's dear child, and purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. And the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches you and me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than a mighty rolling sea. It's higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. And it's broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame.
Amen.
Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His name.
All right, 228. My faith has found a resting place. 228.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. His sins my fear and doubt. A sinful soul like
He'll never cast me out.
Amen. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on His Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation. enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood, for me his life he gave. I need no other arguments, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he
verse
died
number one, my faith is found.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me.
Verse number two.
Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast.
Verse number three. My heart.
My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through
my great physician.
My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood is shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other arguments, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
One or two more. Verse 207, number 207. Oh, happy day. Here we go.
Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all.
Happy day!
Happy day! Happy day! When Jesus washed my sins away, he taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill his house, while to that sacred shrine I move. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to wash and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins.
Now rest my long, now rest my long divided heart.
Fixed on this bliss,
nor ever from my Lord, nor ever from my Lord depart.
With him of every good possessed. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day.
Amen.
When Jesus washed my sins away.
Well, you guys want to get started? You want to do one last one?
Brady said 2:12.
Well, look. All right, 2:12. Nothing but the blood. That's a good one. Let's finish with this one. All right, so when we get to the chorus, No, we'll all sing together. We'll see. Yeah. Let's just start singing. I might change it up here a little bit. Here we go. What can wash away? Here we go.
What can wash away my sins?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Verse 3.
And nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Here we go.
Oh, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No
nothing but the blood,
nothing but the blood of Jesus,
and this is all my hope and peace.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus, this is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Jesus. All right, good job. Sorry, guys. I jumped out too early. Grab your seat. So, who wants to tell me, if someone asked you right now,
Brent,
what do you trust in to get you to heaven, what would you tell him? Ethan, what would you tell him? What would you tell them? They're like, dude, I'm about to die. What do I need to do to get to heaven? What would you say to them? What does that mean? Like, trust in him? Like, put my bank account in him or something? Or
no, I have faith in him.
Just have faith in him? Like, I'm dying, just, Jesus, I believe in you. Will that work? Will it? I don't know. Maybe it will. I mean, he's definitely in the right ballpark. He didn't say Buddha or Muhammad or trust in how many times you went to church or trust in the fact that you grew up in a pretty good household, so God's probably looking out for you, nothing like that. So he's in the ballpark. Who wants to expound on what Ethan started? Selma.
Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Now, she just dropped a load on us right there with the verse. But I'm dying, so I'm not going to be pathing nowhere, right? My next path is the graveyard.
I mean, if you're looking, you might as well.
Yeah. There you go. Amanda. I'm just
going to to expound what they're saying. Include that in there, but
okay.
So you gotta believe that Christ died for your sins, and you gotta admit the fact that you're a sinner to Christ, and ask Him to forgive you, and ask Him into your heart, not to be cliche, but you know,
Don't be cliche. What the heck? No, it's fine, dude. As long as it's the truth, you know what I mean. Yeah, this is fine. Cliches are cliches because they're true and they work, you know. Mm-hmm. So they get used a lot. Yeah, that's it. You know what? I was tying that into the song right there. That last verse, this is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Okay, so you're a sinner, so you're not righteous. And you're headed for hell. You need some hope. And you're at enmity with God, so you need peace. And that's what you're saying. You're saying, I can't do any of that. I would tell that person, listen, you're about to die and go to hell. Do you believe that? Maybe he doesn't. Okay, do you believe you're a sinner? Yes. Do you think God will let sinners come to heaven? Hopefully he'll say no. If he doesn't believe that, you say, well, if he lets sinners come to heaven, then heaven will become hell. Heaven will just become just like earth. You know, earth is that where you have good and bad all mixed together. But the thing that you're trying to get that person to see is you're a sinner. You're headed to hell. Now, what are you trusting in to get you out of that? And then it becomes very simple because now it's just a dirt problem. Heaven is clean. It's pure. And I've got the dirt of sin on my soul. How can I wash this off? It's not going to take a magic eraser. It's not going to be, OxyClean or nothing like that. it's going to have to be something that can wash away sin off of a soul. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's what you're trying to get that sinner to understand. So these hymns, the reason why the Bible tells us to minister to ourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, because it's about brainwashing yourself. Yeah, there's a good brainwash and there's a bad one. What you want to do, you want this stuff to be so automatic that you have really simple, easy ways to talk to sinners about this stuff. So when you get into talking about justification, propitiation, glorification, redemption, and stuff like that, it just goes over. It's going over your head right now, so it's going to go over their heads, okay? So utilize like those songs we're singing, man. It's more than just us, you know, hearing how we sound and stuff like that, or just, you know, taking some time up at the beginning of youth group. It's about trying to paint pictures for you so that when somebody wants to understand what it is you believe, you have easier ways to say it. And not only that, passing on to someone else, but for your own confidence and spiritual support. Today, I wanted to talk about this question last time, and I'm really interested in what you guys have to say about this. The question I have for you, and I want to jump right into it, is this. Is it easier to be a Christian today than when your parents were kids? Is it easier to be a Christian today or when your parents were kids? And the second part of that question, and maybe we need to do two separate questions if this is too much, is do God's standards for Christians change based off of where they find themselves in the world and in history? Now, when I say standards, the standards I'm talking about or like over in 2 Corinthians 5:15, where the Bible says, "In that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto them which died for him and rose again." You know, you got standards like over there in James 1:22, where the Bible says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." One spot that lays out a whole bunch of standards, like right there, it's like a standard wholesale, is 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 14 through 22. Listen to this. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak." This is what a Christian is supposed to do. "Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So that's just an idea of like what I mean by like standards. So, question, is it easier to be a Christian today or back in your parents' day? Mackenzie.
Personally, I think it would kind of depend on who you ask, because what I think is hard or easy might not, like, they might not have felt that way back then. So like for someone to say like what
I... Give me some examples. So what do you think is... Like, give me, like, something like that's tangible for me. What do you think is hard or easy today that your parents may not have thought was hard back then? Or something you think is easy that they might not have thought was easy for you? I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, finish your thought, and then maybe when somebody else is talking, we'll come back around.
Yeah, you're good. No, but I was just, like, saying, like, a lot of people, like, my perception of, like, hard and easy is, like, different to, like, I don't necessarily know what they went through as kids. Mm. And, like, they don't necessarily know what, like we're going through right now as kids, because, like, they just, like, look at things differently. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, the second question, like, no, I don't think, like, the standards should change based off of, like, what time period you live in or anything like that.
You don't think they should. Do you think God does change them? Like, based off the fact that you're not living in the dark ages with the Roman Catholic Church, you know, hunting you down. You know, you're in a mostly free country, you know, where you can still freely organize and worship and stuff like that. Do you think God looks at your situation different than a 16-year-old back in the 1500s?
Honestly, I think that God just kind of looks at it like you should just, like, live for me no matter, like, what. And so I don't think he would necessarily change, like, his standards because he just wants us all to like live for him.
Okay.
In any way that we can.
Very good. Lexi.
Just to kind of like agree with her, like I don't think it's ever like, not that like being a Christian is hard, but I don't think it's ever changed. Like, I mean, some things are like more accepted. Like we each have our different struggles. Like we probably didn't have to go through like, I don't know, like anything like your generation maybe like went through, but like we go through different struggles. But I don't think it's ever like one is better than the other just because we have like these different struggles from what you guys did doesn't mean it's easier or harder to be a Christian from like the two.
So you think it's the same? You think it all evens itself out, Amanda?
I agree with what they're saying, but like kind of to look at it differently though, I feel like today everybody's almost a Christian. So it's kind of like
everybody says they are, yeah, or thinks they are.
Like I saw this video on TikTok today and this guy was like, when are people going to realize that Catholics and Christians are the same thing? And everybody in the comments was like, yeah, exactly. And I was like, okay. But so I think it's not necessarily, like, just to look at it from a different perspective, I guess, is like, since everybody's a Christian today, I could walk up to my friend who's, like, gay, smokes weed, and drinks and parties every weekend, which is all things we don't, like, necessarily partake in, and be like, I'm a Christian. He's like, that's great. I support you. And I'm like, yeah, I support you, too. So then, like, what kind of Christian necessarily are we talking about? Like,
right.
Just our average Christian or somebody who's actually on fire for God?
Okay. I want to hear it. Jay, do you want to answer on any of this? I want to go back around the room. I want to, like, hit everybody. I'm just like, come on up. What do you think? Do you think it was easier for your parents to be, like, Christians back when they were growing up, back in Raytown, running the streets of Raytona Beach back there and everything like that? Or do you think it's harder today with, like, how kids are and stuff like that?
It depends on what you're doing.
Like how outgoing you are versus if you're just like being a Christian and being quiet type of deal?
Maybe how you talk to people. It might be easier for you to talk to a lot of different people now, but it wasn't easier for them to... It was harder for them to do that.
Do you feel like it was probably harder for your parents to do it back then?
I think it just depends on what you're doing as a Christian.
Okay. Is anybody kind of... Well, go ahead, Caleb.
I feel like it also depends on like the parenting from our parents because both of my parents, they had terrible parents. And I mean, I feel like it was harder for them to do it than me because I'm born into a Christian home. So
that's a good point. It's another angle. So you feel like just being a Christian in general is all about the household you grew up in. Like if you have parents that support you being a Christian, you think it'll be a little bit easier than someone that's, you know, got parents that don't even believe, they're having to get rides to church or ask their friends to come pick them up and then try to live that lifestyle at home when they're not supported by it. Very good. I'm going to keep going across here. I want you guys to go again. Spilker, what do you think? You should support him. You guys should, like, have a campaign together. He's vice president.
Yeah, so back to what he said, basically how you grew up, and especially, I would say, with schools. So what you've been around versus what other people have been around. So, especially...
You know what? No, I like where you're going because you draw something to my mind. Here's some context for you guys. Back when Pastor Bob was in school, okay, they bring in a preacher around Easter to preach to the kids the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now, some of the stuff they're doing over in California is they're bringing in transgender people to have transgender story time to tell them about being drag queens. Okay, so now let's put it back on you again. Do you think it was easier back in your parents' day or do you think it was easier today? And maybe I did that to be misleading to try to get you to, like... I'm just trying to get you guys to really think about that. I want to, you know, invoke some thought in you. Colton.
Well, I feel like it'd be easier back then because nowadays we have social media and we have all these distractions. So we keep ourselves from reading the Bible. Back then they didn't have all the electronics and stuff we have nowadays.
Okay. So you feel like because you're more busy doing stuff, it's harder for you to separate from that stuff and look at the Bible.
You get distracted from it.
You do get distracted from it. You guys ever heard this? Idle hands are the devil's workplace. So if your parents had less to do, wouldn't they possibly get into trouble more? I know, I'm being like the devil's advocate. Everything you say, I'm going to say the opposite of it. No, this is good. The only reason I'm doing this is I want you guys to keep telling me exactly what's on your mind, but I don't want anybody getting like pushed to go any direction. All right, Kenzie.
I think today we're too sensitive. Mm. So like, say that you go up to someone that's like trans or bi or gay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You go up and be like, hey, I'm Christian, you know, would you like to listen to youth group? And they're like, no.
Have you done that before?
No.
I was like,
no.
Yeah, you got some guts, girl.
And yeah. They're like, no. And I feel like if you say one wrong thing, they're like just all coming at you because everybody today is so sensitive, like a little puppy dog or something.
Mm.
And you say one wrong thing and they're like, oh, you're throwing me under the bus then. Or like, you're throwing me out on the side of the road. You're like, you're against everybody and you're against people and you're...
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that's not how it works.
Wow.
And I feel like it would be easier back then because because my parents... Oh my gosh, I just forgot what I was going to say.
No, you're fine. You're on fire there.
My parents, like, had their own little groups that they could talk to individually, as where everybody now is just, like, scattered, you know, in their 50 different friend groups or whatever, you know?
Okay.
But, like, if you say, you know, you're friends with, like, the emos, and then you're friends with, like, the popular people, you say one wrong thing to the emo group, then they're like, well, you can just leave our friend group then, and they're, like, so sensitive that they just, like, cry.
Alright, wait, Lexi, go ahead.
Not to like go against Caleb or anything, but like I don't believe that just because you grow up in a Christian household that you're gonna like turn out as a great person. Like, coming from where I come from, like, you wouldn't think people like my parents would end up in a church like today. So I mean, like hearing the stories from like what my dad, like my dad, I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody knows about my dad. Like, he was, like, the biggest, like, cracked out person ever. Like, you wouldn't think of, like, just because you grow up in a household of, like, a Christian household that you're going to turn out. Like, that saying is, like, why are strict parents kids so bad? Mm. It's because, like, it's just not because of the household you grow up in. So, yeah, I feel like, just like as I was saying earlier, I feel like it's even because my dad went through like all these struggles as like drugs and like all this stuff back in the day, and it was like a big thing. But like nowadays we have they're like sensitive, and we have like gay is like acceptable and like all this stuff. So it's like, I don't know, I feel like it just like evens out because it depends on like what situation you're in.
Caleb, Lexi just said you're a liar. What do you want to say to that?
No comment.
No comment. Kenzie, did you have... Oh, did you want to say something?
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to also say, like, basically, I feel like it'd be easier back then because it's like, there's so many things going on today. It's hard to just focus on the Lord and the Bible and trying to keep up with that while also keeping up with COVID and like, everything going on, like school and work. Stuff like that.
Kenzie, you want to add anything to what you already said?
Oh, like an example?
Or just anything, since you've heard everybody else talking. Anything more?
I mean, I still think it just kind of, like, depends. Like, I think, like, throughout time, like, there's always, like, something difficult to, like, arise. And so I think it's, like, they have their own struggles, and, like, we have our own struggles. And so, like, I can't necessarily... like judge what they went through and how difficult and hard it was, because like I didn't go through that. Like, I can only just say like how easy or difficult times are now.
Yeah.
Now that I'm like living them.
Do you think it's like vain to even kind of toy with something like that? It's just like,
it's not like...
Well, I kind of hear you, because I thought that too. Like, what difference does it make? Like, even if it was hard for my parents, I'm not going to go back and live their life. I'm just trying to like live this one right for God where I am right now. You know, that's enough. Sufficient for the day is the trouble thereof, you know. All right, Jordan.
It's evil
thereof. Oh. That's about let the women be silent in the church. No. All right, go ahead, Jordan.
I kind of feel like when, like,
our parents were growing up, it was a little bit easier because compared to now, the country was like more like together, and they kind of agreed way more than what's going on now. And also, but it was harder to communicate to people back then, but it's still kind of harder to communicate now because you want people who want to sing hymns for like an hour and a half and then like watch someone preach off a TV for 30 minutes. Because that's what Abundant Life does, and I know that because that's where my mom goes. But
oh, wow.
She's starting to listen to the sermons online now.
So okay.
And just basically now we're all basically separate, and we kind of, people, half the world's going one way, and the other half the world's going the other way, and just trying to figure out what's right, and basically forcing everybody to go one way. It's not forcing them the right way, I guess.
We might circle back on that one since we're here. Go ahead.
I feel like also like a common like denominator in like problems is like people's pride. So like I have like a lot of friends who like go to like those like modern day churches, and so like if I were to like bring them here, and if they were to like hear like a salvation message, they would just be most likely, obviously I can't like read the intents of their heart, but like they think that their church is right too, and so like they don't necessarily see anything wrong with like having the wrong Bible, like having worship services, and so like they'd be like, oh, I'm saved, even though it's not necessarily like how you guys do it, like our church is right, and so I'm already saved, and so like stuff like that.
Dang, I think you said something a couple of times ago when we were doing this. You said something like people are less concerned about truth and more just concerned about rooting for their team or something like that. I don't know, you probably didn't say it exactly like that, but I remember you listening back to it and you said something like that. So it's like people are more into like that, like support your group, you know, ride, you know, roll with the tribe type of deal, like stick with the party line. Like who cares what, you know, the actual truth isn't the thing. Like, what are we supposed to say as a group? You know, so it's more about, you know, supporting your people than it is what the facts are about stuff. You know, the funny thing about it, the Bible says truth has fallen in the streets, you know, and it is much more about that. You know, what group are you in? You know, are you going to tote the party line or are you going to, you know, get kicked out of it type of deal? What's up, Selma?
So I think, like, my personal intake on it is back then, like, I was worldly, and general, I feel like it was easier for them just because God was more acceptable. And now, like,
to like the world as a whole,
yeah,
okay.
So, like, if you said, like, oh, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, like, you wouldn't get made fun of or judged for it. Now, like, in our time period, they're slowly starting to take God out of everything. So, if, like, as Amanda was saying, like, a lot of people identify as Christians, but as she was also saying, it depends on like the type of Christian you are. So, my friend could say, oh, I'm a Christian, but yet still party like the world. And then I could say, oh, I'm a Christian, and I would get made fun of by the same person because I don't do the stuff they do. Mm-hmm. I go to church on Thursday. I spend my Saturdays with church people, or, you know, I go to church every Sunday. But yet they would still, like, make fun of me just because they want to fit in with the other people. And if you're a Christian, you're automatically, like, considered as judgmental. You don't believe like the world's standards and everything going on. But then again, as like our parents alone, like in their family, I feel like, yeah, it could. Well, if you backtrack it, like in my family, because like Caleb said, everybody's family is different. Like maybe her family grew up in church. My family grew up in drugs. So, say, like, okay, I think everybody knows this. My grandma was, like, a drug dealer. Mm-hmm. She smokes weed. Like, okay.
Like so, most grandmas, that's right?
Not, yeah, like,
right,
yeah.
So, my Nana does that, too.
Yeah, yeah. She just puts hers in her brownies, right? Yeah.
So, my dad, like, he was used to being around drugs and all that stuff because, like, his parents did it. So, like, you think it's more, like, it's right in a way, because your parents won't, like, hate you for it because they do the same thing, so you can't really be hypocritical for it. But, say one day, like, my dad's this little kid, his parents doing these drugs, and one day, like, his friend tells him about Jesus, and he comes home, and he wants to be a Christian. How long do you think that's going to last? Because he's around, like,
he lives with those people doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
So how is he supposed to set himself aside when he's associating with the people who do stuff that he doesn't want to associate with? So as a person in general, it could be hard because, like I said, they have like their own struggles or whatever. But as a whole, I feel like it was more acceptable back then.
I'm going to change the question up a little bit. And if you guys still want to answer to your questions, I can do it after this. So just kind of based off what Salmo was saying there, do you think it's easier to be a Christian, growing up in a Christian household? Or do you think it's actually easier? And maybe that's too obvious. Like, I was going to say just easier not growing up in a Christian household. Because I know Christians in this church that are on fire leading the way that did not have Christian parents. And just like your mom and dad are a great example of that. Did not have Christian parents, but they're leaders in the church. But then I've got other people that grew up in it all the time, and because of that, they kind of got dull to it, you know? So I'll give you like 1 minute to touch on that before I pass it on. All right,
but
go
to
ahead.
Answer that question, it is hard because my dad, like, he's on fire for the Lord, and mm-hmm. he studies his Bible. He does everything like a good Christian would or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he always tells us, he's like, I have thoughts of going back and doing that stuff. He's always telling us that, but he always says he fights his flesh not to. So it's hard for his, like spirit to fight back
mm-hmm.
against his flesh because that's all he ever knew.
Yeah,
drugs, and that's all he ever did. So like, I feel like it is hard.
All right, I'll hit you then, Amanda.
Just to like piggyback off of Selena, like. Your parents have it's the biggest role in your lifestyle. If you were to ask me like 6 years ago today who God was, like we went to a Catholic church maybe like once a year for Christmas, like you would think like if my dad were to go back to like drug, like if he tells us, like he says that he fights his flesh all the time because like I mean like coming from a lifestyle like that, like you're not just gonna forget about it. Like mm-hmm. he grew up in that way, so like yeah, I do think your parents like what you grow up is like a really big part of your life. Because if my dad didn't get out of prison and really decided to change his life, none of my family would be where we are today. Me, Selena, and Ethan would probably be getting high with our grandma life right now. Like, you wouldn't know what we would be doing, like,
yeah.
And if my dad was to ever go back to like doing, like, I know he's not, but like, if he was, we'd be right back into the same trap. So yeah, I do believe it's what you grow up around. But also, like, people that grow up, like, talking about like strict parents, their kids always turn out bad because they're so like their parents are so strict because they're like so like uptight all the time. So like, if people like, not saying like people that grow up in church, they're gonna get dull to it, but like it just like. It's like a really big role in your life. It, like what you grow up around is what you normally end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can change because like look at my dad. Like he did, just because he grew up around drugs doesn't mean like it's like you can't change because he obviously changed.
Yeah.
And like you wouldn't think people like him could be like change like that because like. I mean, if you knew him, like, you knew it was, like,
yeah.
That's what he was doing. So, yeah,
no,
I do
absolutely.
Believe that.
Absolutely.
What you grow up around.
Okay, so, like, kind of to take, like, I 100% agree with what they're saying, but to take, like, you know, the opposite side, I think if you grow up in a house of doing, and your parents and you at such a young age are already doing drugs and, like, talking, like, and doing things that you shouldn't be doing, when you finally decide, like, that you're going to be a Christian, you can, like, physically separate yourself from that, and there will be such a, like, the difference will be so, like, evident in your life, and that I feel like it's almost like you can physically see the difference in these people. But if you grow up in, like, a dull Christian household, and you're in church, and you just, like, never fully, like, get on fire, like, your parents go to church every Sunday, they sing the hymns, you guys might do, like, a family Bible study a week, but none of you guys really, like, do your own thing on your own time, and you guys just all grow up, like, just as dull Christians, and you just have like this happy little family of dull Christians. But then you have like somebody who came from a lifestyle like that, and they have such like an evident difference in their life. Then it's almost like, look at like where those two Christians are in their life, and who is God using more, and what is God doing more with these people. And so that's why, like, and like my dad, he didn't come up with like a family like who did drugs, but he came up of like his parents were like 14 years older than him. He went to like a private school. Like he was.
handed a lot of things, but at the same time, like, his home life was very rough and stuff. And Bob met him, my dad, when he was 14. And, like, Bob and my dad would tell you that my dad sent him back to the church. He was, like, a hot mess. He'd interrupt the services. Mm. And, but, like, then look where he is today. So I feel like everybody in their own way has their own struggles, but at the end of the day, it's not what your parents did. It's what are you going to do with it?
Yeah,
and, like,
point.
The Bible says everybody hears, like, everybody gets the chance to get saved in their life. And it's like, well, I can't get saved because my parents didn't get saved. Like, no, it's like at that point, you have to make the decision for yourself. And so I get, like, sometimes, like, those physical situations are harder. But at the end of the day, I feel like it's really up to that individual person.
Nice. Macy, I want to hit you before I get everybody, because I don't think you or Sierra are going yet. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I don't know, because, like, I think that, yes, when you grow up in a Christian life or a Christian household, it is easier because you already have, like, a Bible-believing church to go to. You have the right Bible. You have, like, I mean, I don't know, like, I have parents that are willing to, like, teach you the Bible, and you have a pastor that's willing to teach you the Bible. So, like, you have all of those components that will help you, like, be on fire for the Lord. And so I think, like, that is a really easy factor. But I also do think that, I mean, if you don't grow up in a Christian household, like, you obviously can still find your way to a Bible-believing church in the right Bible, because there's always, like, somebody at work or, like, just, I don't know, someone on the streets, like, Restart Ministries, when someone can come up and ask you, like, what are you doing? And, like, so there's always ministry opportunities, like, everywhere around you. So even if you, like, don't grow up in a household that is Christians, you can always, like, there's ministry all around you, and, like, Christians all around you that probably do believe the right things. So I think no matter, like, I think they both have their both, like, easy components in some shape or form.
There you go. What are you going to say?
Well, to piggyback off of some, like, Caleb and Mackenzie and, gosh dang it, right? Catch your name right now. Lexi, sorry. So to piggyback off of all of that, I'm going to use my mom as an example. Her mom, she did not raise her right at all. She's incredibly worldly. It was so bad to where my mom was a high school dropout, and she never ended up graduating high school until she was, like, 20. And from there on, she just decided to get out of her house, so she wanted to separate herself from that bad environment. And so she married a guy that she didn't even know. So my dad was a bad guy. And then later on in life, she finally decided, whenever she had my sister and I, to leave that bad situation again for us. And so we ended up in Raytown. And luckily for me, I was still little, but I also still had memories. And growing up in Raytown, that's still kind of like the world, because we're not fully
Take it easy on Anna now. She's still in. Yeah.
We're not fully situated in our foundation for God, because it's like it's a construction zone. It's a work in progress, and it forever will be. And to have that settlement in, like, our lives is really hard whenever you're also trying to face, like, on how you grow up, because whenever you're a child, you're a sponge. You soak it up. Like, you soak up everything that's given you. And whenever you see people happy, you're like, oh, I want what they have. And then, so, though my sister and I both grew up in church, it felt like a little bit of not as a struggle, but if I had to use my family as an example, I would say that it is easier, well, back then it was easier. I would actually say that today it is easier as a Christian, because history repeats itself, and we see as on the news and everything is provided as an example as it is in the Bible. Because the more you read and the more that we learn, like Sunday school kids, they're taught lessons, like simple Bible stories, like on what we learn from the Bible and what they perceive out of it. We can use an example today of, there's a whole bunch of people that have been like this, and they were there back then. However, they were just, you know, skeletons in the closets. I also wrote down stuff, so I wouldn't forget.
Yeah.
What else have I written down? I would also say that insulate versus isolating. I would say that strict parents, the reason why the kids rebel is because they're isolating them. They're not letting them live their lives, rather than just actually insulating them and saying, this is out there. You can see it. Go to school. Talk to your friends. You can see what's there. However, this is what you can do to prevent it from getting to you. And the world is naturally against us. It's forever going to be a battlefield. I think that what we give ourselves is it's like kind of like all these lessons of on what you feed your mind, what you feed your soul, whatever.
So when you say the world's naturally against you, you're just saying no matter what time, you're going to have a fight against the world regardless. Exactly. Yeah.
And how we build ourselves up and how we build our wall is on how we are able to kind of do the work for God, because there was multiple Bibles back then, as there are multiple Bibles now, different versions, and how our willingness to study the Bible is on how well we decipher it, is on how we get through to people, no matter how prideful they are, how sensitive we are. Our willingness, this day and age, is easier because just standing up shows the huge amount of courage we have for taking a stand with the Lord. And how we stand also shows other people that we are so confident in what we believe in, that what we chose to do with our lives, even though so many people are against us, is all the more reason to stand for the Lord.
This girl wrote a sermon while we were answering questions over here.
And I thought I had one more thing. Nope, that's it.
No, thank you for that. Ethanol, what are you going to say?
Well, I kind of think both sides, but first I'm going to start off, like, I think it's harder to grow up, like, with a Christian family, because, like, I'm pretty much, like, I don't know if I'm speaking for a lot of people, but, like, they just want to experience stuff that, like, everybody else is experiencing.
They've been kept from it, so they're always wondering, what if I went out there and, you know, and but,
like my dad, like, he experienced all that, but, like, he still had to reap what he sowed. So, like, for a while, like, right when he was trying to be a good dad, like, I don't know if I'm speaking for them, but I resented my dad for, like, the first 3 years living with him. Like, I didn't mind. I was a bad kid. I literally did stuff at school to get in trouble just so, like, I could get back at him just because I knew he didn't like him. So, like, I think it's, like, both sides, because, like, if you do, like, all that stuff at the beginning, then you're just already going to have that, but, like, if you have a good family, then they're going to, like, keep you from most of that. But, like, then you, like, when you're 16, like, you're going to, your parents are going to trust you, like, with the car. And you can, like, go out and do whatever you want.
Yeah. All right, we'll do Kinsey and Macy, then Lex. Go ahead, Kinsey.
So
I'm sorry, this is Kinsey. I called you Macy. I'm so sorry.
So I think it would be easier growing up with a family that already had the foundation in the church. Because my family, we came to
It'll be easier
church.
Growing up with a family that already has a foundation in the church.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because my family, my mom and dad came to this church whenever it was at the pavilion. Like 2006, they left the church. My dad was already saved. My mom was not. It was just flying over her head. And my dad let my mom really take control of the family. So they left. And my parents both had a really bad drinking problem and a really bad smoking problem. And motorcycle riding was encouraging them to do that with all the other bikers. And I, whenever I was in middle school... You would not know that I was really big emo in middle school.
Oh, not you.
Like, dark purple hair. and just really big emo. And I had let my parents influence my life by going out with friends and just, like, running the town, like, doing random, like, pretty much, like, vandalizing stuff, pretty much. And then... we got back into this church. We found it after my parents got in a motorcycle accident. And then I have been witnessing to friends and stuff, but your flesh knows how to bring you back down. So.
Dang, girl. Come a long way. All right, Macy. I'm just playing. Give me.
So, like, once again, I think they're just, like, both kind of, like, equally hard, just, like, depending on, like, how you look at it. Because, like... I don't, like, most people don't think that, like, coming up in, like, a, like, family that's, like, been in the church, like, forever is, like, difficult because, like, oh, you've had, like, all those resources, like, right there your entire life. You've had, like, everything, like, every answer to everything you've ever wanted. But, like, sometimes I feel like it can be difficult for, like, them. It's, like, you grow up seeing your parents do it and seeing, like, how it's, like, they've made it their own and how they love it. But then it's, like, how do I turn that into, like, my own? And, like, how do I love it? And so, like, but, like, on the other side of things, like, that's, like, pretty, an easy question for them to answer, like, when they're, like, becoming Christians from that like bad background,
mm-hmm.
because they're like, I want to make it my own and I want to love it because I want to get out of this bad situation. But like, how can like a Christian say that when they're already in a good situation? And so like that can sometimes prove itself to be like difficult, just like making your own. And it's like, to answer the question, like, what's the point of like not like what's the point, but like what's the point, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
kind of just like,
did you guys all understand what she was saying right there? Like, yeah, so. And Amanda or somebody else brought the point of like contrast. It's so awesome to have people that have been in horrible lifestyles, you know, on drugs or whatever they were strung out on and doing, and then get saved, and then everybody can see that contrast of how they were and how they are. But what do you do when you grow up, your parents are in the ministry, you're always coming to church every Sunday? What kind of contrast can you show to people? It's almost like your life is just dull. Maybe you even narrow-minded because you weren't, you know, brave enough to venture out in your own journey and make something. You know, I could see the world looking at it like that. So, all right, go real quick.
Kind of, like, to, like, throw off of, like, Amanda and Ethan, like, I mean, like, when you grow up in that, like, lifestyle, like, it just becomes so, like, natural. Like, not natural, but, like, you just get so used to it. And, like, for the longest time, I had...
Which one? The rough one or the Christian one? The one without God? One. Okay. Right. Yeah.
I held, like, probably... Like, 2 years ago, I probably stopped, like, holding... I had to sit down with Brittany, and I just sat there and just talked to her about...
You said Brady? Oh, Brittany. I was like, okay. No, Brady, come here. Put that game down. Get over here. And listen to me. Okay, go. Sorry. I'm sorry, because I know it's not a funny time. But I only thought she said Brady, but go ahead. Okay,
I held the biggest grudge against my dad because I felt so... Like, how could you, like, how could you choose drugs over your kids? Like,
yeah.
I just felt so, like hurt by it because he was, like, never around for us. But, like, I mean, like, it's always about your choice. Like, I make the choice every day not to go do drugs because I can see what my, I can see what it has done to my family. And I don't want to teach my kids to do that and, like, just not... I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No, but that's good, dude. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, like, always about your choice. I was going to say something, but I forgot.
I want to capitalize on that real quick before... who else was going after her? Was Amanda? Okay. Yeah. And that's what we're going to see here is that it is... Okay, finish. Yeah, I want you to get it out.
But, like, just to go, like, now that I'm, like, thinking about it, I do feel like growing up in a Christian lifestyle would have been harder because, like... Okay, so maybe I'm talking, like, say me and Kinsey, like, grew up in the church, but me, like, we started coming, like, six mm-hmm. years ago. But if we're talking to someone and they're like, but how has God, like, really changed your life?
Mm.
Like, she could sit here and, like, not to, like, be like, oh, like, you guys. But, like, she could be like, oh, like, my family, like, we get all these blessings. But I can sit here and be like, oh, like, my dad was doing drugs and, like, got sent to prison, like, mm-hmm. did all these things and, like. Like, see, like, the really, like, I just feel like it's easier. It might be, like, not easier, but, like, people can, like, really, like, look at me in, like, a different way to see, like, how God has, like, really have changed my life, changed 100%. Our lives.
Amanda.
Okay, so, like, two of the three discipleship groups I was in, like, pretty much what they're saying, like, just to make it so, like, I guess clear is, like, two of the three discipleship groups I've been in, the, like, parents of these children have said things to me, like, they'll talk about, like, their kid's issue or, like, something that their kid's going through, even if it's not, like, an actual, like, issue. And I'll be like, yeah, like, you know, to kind of, like, end the conversation, like, yeah, we all go through our things, like, I'll be praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, have bolstered and said, well, you grew up here, so you don't know about it. And it kind of just feels like a kick in the gut. You're like, no, like, I promise, like, we, and you don't want to, like, sit here and lay out, like, every single flaw you have because you're trying to, like, work with these people and help mm-hmm. people. And you don't want to, like, decredit yourself, but you want to, like, relate, you know?
Yep.
And so it's almost like even, like, people who do see the difference, they, like, don't get the, like, oh, no, like, everybody has things. You're not just, like, perfect because you grew up here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%. Real quick, Selma.
I feel like I already said, like, it would be bad for, like, if you didn't grow up in a Christian household. But say you take Kinsey or whatever. Her grandpa's a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So say Kinsey decides to... go out and drink a beer with one of my friends. Okay, Kinsey, you know how bad that would make not only Kinsey look, but her grandpa look.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got to, like, pressure.
she's got to hold that burden of like, oh, I'm going to make my family look so bad if I do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like my dad says all the time, like if we get in trouble or something, or if somebody talks to us about something that we shouldn't be sitting there listening to, he'll be like, okay, so how come so-and-so feels comfortable with telling you this stuff, but they won't say it to me because they know where I stand or whatever. So I feel like it honestly, both ways, it can be bad in certain situations, but...
Dude, that's really good. All right, really fast, because I'm going to put a ball on this.
It'll be really fast.
All right.
So, like, on how you said about that one person and I, on how God is omnipresent, and on how, like, he's there, like, every step of the way, like, every situation, every battle that we face, he also has our life planned every single season, and he knows that we're going to deal a situation, well, that either way, it's going to be profitable for him. That he knows that the outcome of, like, the situation, whether it be something that we said, might affect us down the road to where he gets glorified out of it. And that with each battle that comes our way is going to be another opportunity to which that we can not use to, like, our, like, advantage, but also use it for someone else. We can use it for, it could be a family member, a friend, or it could be someone just like you know, or even a stranger. But I feel like that no matter how hard or how easy it is, there's always going to be some downside towards that like this, towards the situation.
Yeah. No, thank you. All you guys did a great job inputting tonight. And the way I'm going to put a bow on it is simply like this. Can we all agree that no matter where you're at, God wants you to have a testimony in this world? We all talk about that, being aware of our testimony and what that looks like. And you guys know what that old, you know, maxim is that everyone always says, the grass is always greener on the other side. Wherever we find ourselves, the devil, our flesh, whatever it is, it convinces us that, well, maybe if I would have grown up in this situation, I'd be more on fire for God because of that. We always think if we were in an opposite situation, it might have been better. Think about it like this. Two things I want you guys to walk away with tonight. God either wants you to have a testimony of mercy or a testimony of grace. And obviously, like, they can blend back and forth, but this is just for the inspirational point. I want you guys to get locked in your heads. So what's mercy? It's God should have done something to you because of where you were, but he withheld his hand from doing that. Testimony of mercy. He did not do to you what he should have done to you. Okay, what's grace? That's God giving you what you didn't deserve. I think Jared talked about this last time in his message. He gave you what you did not deserve. Why was it that some person got to grow up in a Christian household while somebody else didn't? Okay, let's start with the person that didn't. That's the testimony of mercy. You grew up in a house with drug addicts. You grew up in a house with drug addicts from, you know, parents to aunts and uncles and all that stuff like that. Why are you sitting here tonight? Because your testimony to the world is supposed to be a testimony of mercy. This is what I deserved. I should be strung out in the street. I should have some type of mental illness because of the chemicals that were put in my body because of the stuff that my parents were taking into theirs. But look at me. I'm in my right mind. I'm clothed. I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm doing what he wants me to do against all odds. That's a testimony of mercy, okay? I'm more like Kinsey. My dad was a pastor. My uncles were preachers. We were all in church. Every time we got together for family get-togethers, we did something spiritual. That was our lifestyle, okay? That's what I'm used to. What does God want to do with me? Testimony of grace. You kids that grew up in good households, the fire ought to be lit under your butt about this. God showed me so much favor. He gave me so much grace. Who am I to take that and toss it to the curb and waste it? So you see how both of you guys have a charge to keep? You have a charge to keep if you grew up in a bad situation because God came and rescued you. Imagine that. Imagine being somebody who had a horrible heart or a horrible lungs because you smoked all your life. And then you're on your deathbed getting ready to die, but lo and behold, somebody comes in and donates their lungs to you. And so now you get a second chance. Should you go back and start smoking again? How horrible would that be, okay? But imagine the person that grew up with great health and stuff like that, but then takes it and wastes it on doing the same thing. You see, what the devil is going to try to get you both to do is to do the opposite of what God established you in. He started some people in really rough spots because he's going to tell a great story about bringing you out of that mire and that clay. He saw other people in really good spots to see if they'll realize what he gave you and keep going on for him. You guys have seen this both ways. You've seen in the world, you've seen very poor people realize that they're in a horrible situation, but work really hard at it, work their butt off, do whatever they had to do to get out of that situation, and now they're really rich. But then you've seen kids of really rich people, billionaires, completely blow it all, and now they're down in the gutter. You guys see the human condition that we're in? So absolutely. No matter where you find yourself, God wants to use you. He wants to do something. But like you guys have all said, I've heard this echoed by several of you guys. It all comes down to you and what you want to do for God. God, listen to this. God is not going to put you in a situation in life where once you get up to heaven, you can blame him and say it wasn't fair. The devil will try to make you think you're in a situation like that. He'll try to make you feel like a victim because you grew up in a really good household. And man, Lord, if I could just go out there and experience some terrible stuff in the street and then come back from it like a prodigal, then I'd have a good testimony. Or you're thinking, Lord, the reason I'm not doing good for you is because, well, look at who's around me. I'm surrounded by all kinds of fools and stuff like that. God's got examples of both people coming out of both places. My counselors in here have both testimonies, okay? So it doesn't, Jenny and I are stark contrast to that. Her parents were unsaved, never wanted to tell them anything about spiritual things, wanted them to choose by themselves. I'm scared to, I thank God my parents never trusted me to do something like that. I'd probably be in hell. So exactly what, you guys already got it before I even said that. No matter where you find yourself, God wants to take you and use your testimony, either testimony of mercy, what he should have done to you because of where you grew up, like how he brought you out of that, or testimony of grace, how he's kept you and blessed you and been here. And will you realize that and keep going and keep passing that on to generation after generation? So that's what it comes down to, guys. You know, I love all you all. It's so fun to listen to you guys talk and get these perspectives and see how much you're actually gleaning from Pastor Bob preaching, from the discipleships, from what you're getting in the book and stuff like that. So good job, man. Keep it up. I'm already looking forward to the next time and having ideas of some of the other questions we're going to be talking about next time to kind of keep building on some of these things we talked about tonight. And even when we start to meet on Tuesday nights, you might get into a little bit of that. So we'll see what happens. So we're going to pray. Don't forget what your assignments are for cleaning up. Let's get that knocked out. Then we'll get out of here. If you forgot what it was, come see me. And then both of us can go ask somebody that was actually paying attention. All right, no. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the kids tonight, just opening up their hearts and being honest, Lord, about what they've struggled with and where they're at. Lord, I love that because you're always going to be close to us when we're open with you. And, you know, the more that we're honest with you, Heavenly Father, you said the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And, Lord, you know, I think that definitely took place here tonight, Lord. And I just thank you for this opportunity to meet like this. I don't know how much longer we'll be doing this, Lord. You know, not to be a dooms, you know, sayer and all that stuff like that, but who knows what's going to happen out there in the world and what type of restrictions are going to get put on us and the type of weight that the devil is going to try to put on us through the system, Lord. But while we have this opportunity to meet like this, Lord, help us to put aside the petty differences and schisms that the devil tries to highlight and help us to focus on the things that unite us, the things that are going to last for eternity, Lord. And that's what it's all about. I believe everyone that's in here is a saved person, Lord, and a Christian. We're going to go out into eternity together. We've got so much more to relate with each other about and to build on, Lord. Help us not to sacrifice what's eternal on the altar of the immediate. And Lord, I pray and ask that you just be with these kids as they head out. Give them strength to be faithful to you as they go to school or wherever they're going out there amongst their friends, just to have a good testimony however they can. We love you and pray and ask all these things in your son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, guys. Oh, yeah, that was good.